This is another in our series of recordings on Maseches Tamid. Just a quick read through the Masechta, geared towards helping people to make a siyum on Erev Pesach in isolation. We are now on Lamed Beis and Beis 32b, middle of the page. We're going to do Perek Hamishi, the fifth Perek. It is all Mishnah. And it begins where we left off in the Mishnayos, which is to say that we had completed the Shechita of the Karban Tamid, the daily offering, and the breaking down to its various parts, and the parts were brought to the Mizbeach, and the Kohanim now had to the Lishkas Hagazis to recite Shema. So Amar Lehem Hamamuna, designee would say to them, Berchu Bracha Achas, you should recite a Bracha, and that Bracha is from the Berchos Kriya Shema. The brachas that precede Shema, if you look at the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud Aleph on the base, some discussion of which bracha it was. This is still pre-sunrise. And they said the bracha. Karu Aseres Hadibros. They then read the Aseres Hadibros. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did that. The parish on the side notes that that's something that we don't do outside of the Beis HaMikdash, lest people believe that that is more important, that their mitzvos are more important than the rest of the Torah. But they would recite the Aseres HaDibros, as well as Shema, V'haya Im Shamoa, and Vayomer. Okay, the three paragraphs of Shema. The Rush notes that there's some question about fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema with this reading. It ties it to the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin. The Ritva there says that, yes, you are Yotzei by reciting Shema at this time, even though the Gemara sounds like you're not. It's just not Lechatchila, because it's before sunrise. Back in the Mishnah, Berchu es ha'om shalosh brachos, or Berchu shalosh brachos, they recited three brachos, which are emes v'yatziv, va'avoda, meaning ritzei, u'berchas kohanim, as well as berchas kohanim. And here the Rush comments that the ritzei that they would recite doesn't look like our ritzei, because it doesn't ask Hashem to restore the avoda. It's a different edition of that bracha of ritzei. U'b'shabbos mosifin bracha achas l'mishmar hayotzei, and then on Shabbos they would add an extra bracha that was a bracha for the shift that was completing its work in the Beis HaMikdash. That's our first Mishnah. Second Mishnah. After they finished their davening, Amar Lehem Chadashim Laktaris Bo'u V'Hafisu. They then would be called to participate in a lottery for the Ketores. However, if you had done the Ketores before, you weren't eligible to do the Ketores. Ketores brought with it the possibility of wealth. So new Kohanim for the Ketores, Bo'u V'Hafisu, come participate in the lottery. Zacha Misha Zacha, whoever got it, got it. Amar Lehem Chadashim Im Yishanim Bo'u V'Hafisu. Then, new and old, those who had gotten to do this before and those who had not, were invited to participate in a lottery to determine who would bring the parts of the carbon up the ramp to the Mizbeach. However, Eliezer ben Yaakov Amar Hamalei Varm LeKebesh Hu Mala Osan Al Gabei HaMizbeach. He said no, that the one who brought the pieces of the carbon to the Mizbeach was the same one who would actually bring it up onto the Mizbeach. Okay. New Mishnah. Mishnah Gimel. Misarim Lachazanim. The Kohanim who did not win, the Kohanim who did not get to do these avodos, would now leave. So they were given to Chazanim. Chazanim means people who are in charge. Hayimachshitin osan es bigdayin. They would remove their big day kahuna. Veloya manichin alem elamechnasayim bilvad. They only left the pants, and after they changed into their regular clothing, then they would remove the mechnasayim as well. New thought, even though it's in the same Mishnah, v'chalonos hayusham v'kasuv aleim tashmish hakelim. They had cubbies there, and the cubbies were for the kelim, for the vessels that are going to be used, as we're about to describe, because now we're going to launch into the ketores. Mishnah Dalet. Misha zaha b'ketores hayinot alas hakaf. The kohen who won the lottery to do the ketores, he would take a kaf. V'akaf doma l'tirkav gadol. It also was like, we talked about this before, the tirkav. It was like the tirkav. A tirkav is a big vessel that holds three kav. Trey ukav, it holds three kaf. So this kaf is shaped like that. Shalzav, made of gold. Machzeka shlosha kamen. In fact, it held three kaf. V'habazach haya b'socho, and you had a bazach, a big spoon that was inside of the kaf. Malei v'godush ketores, and it was overflowing with ketores. It is inside of the kaf. In order that nothing should spill onto the floor. V'kisoi hayalo, it had a cover to it, u'chmin metuteles hayalo milamal, and it had something called a metuteles on top of it. So a couple of notes. First of all, the Rush notes. You might wonder, that if the spoon holding the Ketores is inside of another kli, you could create a situation, well, you are creating a situation, which is a hefsek, there's an interruption between the Kohen's hand and the kli holding the Ketores. And he offers two answers. One answer is that this is for the sake of the avoda, it doesn't constitute an interruption. Alternatively, this teaches us that taking a kli via another kli is actually not a disqualification, something which has relevance for other areas of halacha as well. See the rush there. The other business is, we say that there's a lid on this, and it has a mitutelis on top of it. So what exactly is this mitutelis? So the rush here offers you two explanations. One explanation that it was a ring, that it was used litaltel to take the lid. Alternatively, it was some kind of a cover made of leather, and the point was to keep in the smell of the ketores. And there's a nice idea in the Ravid here. The Ravid, which is printed in this case not on the page, but actually in the back on Lamed Hay Amud Base in the back. Notes that the Aruch writes that this cover was actually made of gold, but it was shaped to look like a piece of cloth that doesn't have a hem, so that it looked like something that would be ragged, something that somebody would have if he couldn't afford something nicer. And he says that the idea here is that it's meant to say the Ketores makes people wealthy, so it causes wealth to those who had been indigent. One more in our theme about Anius and Ashirus in Maseches Tamid, something that's come up quite a bit. Okay, we're now up to Mishnah. Hey, it's printed on the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Whoever it was who got the right to hold the machta being the shovel that they're going to use to get coals for the Ketores, he took this silver machta, the silver shovel, and he went to the top of the Mizbeach, meaning the outer Mizbeach, the big Mizbeach, the one that we used for the Karban Olah. So we also had set up an arrangement of wood from which they would get coals for the Ketores. He goes there, Upanas Hagachalim Helach or Elach Ve'elach, he shifted the coals around, and he took coals from there, Yarad Be'irun L'Soch Shalzav, and then he poured them from the silver machta into a gold machta, nispazer mimenu kekav gecholim. Because of the difference in size between the two, the original receptacle, the silver one, was four. Held four kav, the one it's pouring into holds only three, so therefore a kav of coals would scatter from there onto the floor by Yamachavdan La'ama, and you'd sweep it into an ama. The ama is a channel of water that runs through the base hamikdash and is used to clean the floor. But what do you do if it's Shabbos? On Shabbos you're not handling these coals, so they would cover it with a lid of sorts called a psachter. Upsachter hais kli gadol marzeges lesach, it's a big kli, it holds a lesach. A lesach is a volume measure. Ushtei sharsheros hayuba, and it had two chains. Achashu moshech ba v'yored, one that you pulled in order to lower it. Ve'achashu oches ba milamalan bishul shlatis galgal, and the other one you hold on to keep it steady so that it doesn't tip over or roll. Ushlosh edvarim haisa mishameshes, and you used this for three purposes. Kofenos agabe gecholim, you used it to cover the coals that fell on the floor on Shabbos. Ve'lasheres b'Shabbos, as well as if there were a dead, creepy, crawly creature that could communicate tuma, so you would also cover that up on Shabbos. Umoridin ba'as hadeshim mel gabi amizbeach. And then the third use was to bring the ash down from the mizbeach. Mishnah Vav, last Mishnah in this perek. Higiu bein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach. The Kohanim who are in charge of the Ketores got to the area between the ulam and the mizbeach. And what we mean by that, again, if you go back to our diagrams after Maseches Midos on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, you're now in the space at the entrance to the Heichal. So, Natal Echad as Hamagrefa, Vizorka ben Ha'ulam Bala Mizbeach. One of them took the Magrefa and threw it down between the Ulam, this space between the Zara and the Heichal, between that and the Mizbeach. What exactly was this Magrefa? So, we've talked about the Magrefa before. The Tosus Yom Tov says that there are three different Magrefot that we're using here in the Beis Hamikdash, as recorded by Kahatzi on this Mishnah. You had one that you used to take off the ashes from the Mizbeach. We talked about that in the second parak. You had another one that was a musical instrument shaped like a Magrefa that we mentioned in Parak Gimel Mishnah Ches, the one that was heard in Yericho. And then you have this third one that's used here, and some think that this one that's used here, that you throw down, that makes this big noise, is actually the same one that we referred to before, that was heard in Yericho. Okay, so what are you doing here with this? Why are you making this big racket? We are 5-6 lines up from the end of the parak. Ushlosha devarim ha'isam mishamesh. It had 3 functions, this sound. Kohen sheshameh kola yodeh she'echav ha'kohenim nechnesu lishtachavos v'hu ratzu ba. First of all, if a Kohen heard this, he knew that the other Kohenim were going in now. So he would come in as well. He would know, okay, that's the alert that I'm supposed to join the other Kohanim who are entering the Eichel. Uben Levi Shushameas Kola Yodea Shechvalavim Nichnasan Ladaber Bashir Vuhu Ratzu Ba. Levi would know it's time for the singing to take place, and he would come to take part. Verosh Hamam Arayamam is a Tmeim Bashara Mizrach, and the head of the shift would set up the Kohanim who were Tamei at the east gate. Interestingly, 2 very different explanations of what this is about. One, the Mefaresh, the Perish on the side on the in the margin, says that this is talking about Mitzorayim, who were at the end of their period of purification, and they would go to the east gate in order to have the blood put on them as part of the rite of purification. And he quotes the Mishnayos in Degoyim about that. However, the Rush says that's not what we're talking about at all. Rather, he says that, and he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim Pei Beis, that what we're talking about were the Kohanim from the ship that was supposed to be working, but they were Tameh. And you'd have them stand there for 2 purposes. Either one purpose is to avoid suspicion that they don't want to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and to show everybody, no, it's just that they're Tameh. And then, flip side, the other explanation was to embarrass them, that they weren't careful to avoid becoming Tameh. Look at these people, they were supposed to work in the Beis HaMikdash and they blew it. So we'll pick up with that, God willing, in the next recording.